Welcome. This is another episode of the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 158.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, how's everybody doing? I hope you are having an awesome day wherever you're listening to me right now. Hope you are feeling good and making things happen. And I got an interesting one for you today. This is something that I don't do very often, but I have Felipe Bosanz and Jesus Toledo, who are two guys that came to me about 5 months ago. I got a random email from them. And really just liked their approach, their mindset. And they invited me out for coffee. I got together with them and they asked me to start working with them one-on-one. At the time, I wasn't really doing that. But there was just something about these guys. You know, they had that look. They were very ambitious. Like I said, they had the right mindset. And they had already done a few deals, but had kind of fallen on hard times. You know, were running out of money. And just weren't really sure what direction to go in. And I just felt like it was the right fit. So I had them on because this is fast forward 5 months later. And, you know, they've closed three or four deals, one of which they closed a couple of weeks ago was an $82,000 deal. And I'm talking about a wholesale deal. This is not a fix and flip. This wasn't a rehab or anything. This was an $82,000 wholesale deal. And we get into a case study on that particular deal and so many other things, like so many key takeaways, things they've tweaked and implemented in the business that have made just such a profound impact on their lives and then moving forward. I mean, these guys aren't even scratching the surface with what can be done. I mean, they just went full time in this business June of this year, 2018. So they've been at this a very short amount of time, and they're they should be, I think, over six figures now in profits. Obviously, that one big deal was a huge driver of that. And, you know, we talk about how that deal was not sheer luck. I mean, they put themselves in position to land that deal. And there were some challenges they had to overcome and some hurdles they had to kind of fight through. But I think you're going to get a lot out of this particular episode. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Number one, we don't really do a lot of case studies, and I don't even work with one-on-one. I don't take on very many one-on-one clients at this point. I'm more focused on the Inner Circle program. But whenever I feel like it's the right fit and someone's just made of the right stuff, they have the right mindset, they've already closed some deals, sometimes I just listen to my gut and my heart as far as, you know, who to work with one-on-one. But these guys have just, you know, taken the consulting I've given them, some of the coaching, and they've put it to action. I'm so excited for them, and I'm excited for you, because regardless of where you're at in your business, you know, whether you've closed hundreds of deals or, you know, you've closed one or two or you haven't done any, you're going to get something out of this episode. I don't guarantee very many things, but I'm really confident that you're gonna like this and get something out of it. Okay. And it's really a story of, you know, perseverance, persistence, just continuing, and just the mindset, right? The belief that this can be done and you can do this. And then, you know, fast forward 4 months after them going full time, they're closing a huge deal. I mean, I know a lot of people that have been at this for years and have never closed an $82,000 wholesale deal. And so, I'm excited. Having said that, let's hop right into it. What's going on, everyone? I got an awesome show for you today with two of my favorite people in the house, Mr. Felipe Bosanz and Jesus Toledo. What's up, gentlemen? How are you?
Hi, how are you, Alex? Good. How about you?
Hey, Alex. Very excited to be here.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? So, you know, before we dive into it, I want to just kind of prep the audience and the listener here. So Felipe and Jesus reached out to me. I want to say this was maybe 5 months ago or so. Maybe 6 months ago, somewhere around there. They sent me an email, and right off the bat, I could tell they were just super, you know, when you connect with someone and you just have a good vibe about the person, they just emit positive energy. You can tell they have that go-getter hustler mentality, but they're made of the right stuff. And they sent me a couple of emails, and like I get emails all the time, and there was just something different about the way that they approached me. And they asked me out for, you know, to get together with them at a Starbucks for coffee, which I was happy to do. And I got together with them. I forgot what month this was, guys, but I remember we got together at a Starbucks, and you guys were just so, like, you were like a sponge. Like, you were asking questions, and I could just tell in your eyes, you guys were so hungry that you were going to make this happen. And one thing led to the other, and we started working together one-on-one. And I was helping Felipe and Jesus out, getting started in their wholesaling journey. So I wanted to have them on because in the last, I don't know, 5-6 months, they've made huge, huge strides. And a couple of weeks ago, closed a monster deal. So we're definitely going to be dissecting it and doing a bit of a case study on this particular episode. But I wanted to have them on because the truth is that hopefully you're inspired by them, especially if you're just getting started. Anything is possible if you're just dedicated, you're persistent, and you have that don't quit mentality. So guys, having said that, hats off to you for all your success the last handful of months or so.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thanks for the intro.
Yeah. No, it's a great intro. It's better than I could have done it. It's great. We got a lot of help on our way here, but it's great to hear that. Thank you.
Awesome. So why don't we start from kind of the beginning? First of all, if each of you can go and just kind of give us a little bit of a background as to who you are, and then, you know, let us know how you guys ended up coming together as partners, and then, you know, we'll transition into where you're at today.
Well, it comes from a long time because we've been best friends since high school. We were born and raised in South America in Chile, and we've been living here for about eight years.
I've been for 5 years, yeah. We met here again, and it's been great. I mean, it's great to do business with a friend, and it's great.
Yeah, and what's really amazing is that, I mean, the skills that each one brings to the table makes it a good machine. We like to think about it in a way of a good machine. Yeah,
it's kind of I have a background in entrepreneurial. I've done 3 businesses already. Luckily or fortunate enough to be successful in this business, and Felipe has a strong background in sales. He's great. He will tell you anything. And we do a good team.
You know, I'm so glad to hear you guys say that because the truth is partnerships are tough and a lot of people are not able to make them work. And I remember when we got together at Starbucks, you guys just, it was kind of like a yin and yang is the best analogy I can think of. Like, you each complemented each other as far as like strengths that you brought to the table, and where other parts where you guys weren't as strong, the other person complemented. So that's awesome that, you know, that you guys just have that perfect marriage as far as a partnership is concerned. So I know, how did you end up even getting interested in real estate and deciding to kind of get into wholesaling? Like, what did your journey kind of start like?
That's a good question, because we were actually remembering about it. What was it, like, yesterday? And you know, Jesus, like he said, he's always had like more like an entrepreneurial mentality. I was in corporate America at the time, and he's always done business like e-commerce, like, but all related to South America. And at some point he said, like, we should do something here. Like, we should do something in, like, locally in South Florida. And we start thinking, like, what do we do? And he came up with the idea of going to one of those.
A BRIA meeting. Yeah. We went to, I think the first one we went was a BRIA meeting, the Brower Association.
Okay.
And it was November the first time we went to a meeting. I believe I finished reading for the second time, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or Poor Dad, Rich Dad, I don't remember the name.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right.
Yeah, and I was so inspired because I was looking maybe to see, to do something different. And I've always been attracted to real estate. And when I figured out, I read about the local RIA meetings, I said, I need to go there. I need to network. And I just convinced Felipe. I told Felipe, this is it. Let's go. Let's go to one of these meetings. Let's see what this is about.
It's true. I'm more like an introvert. Like, it's so, it's, but we went there, and it was an eye opener because it was the first time they talked about wholesaling. And we looked at each other and was like, yeah, maybe we should start doing wholesaling, you know?
Yeah.
So this was November of last year. So November 2016, you guys had no idea what wholesaling was. You went to a local real estate investors association here in Broward. And that was the first time you even heard the word wholesaling before?
Yeah, it was the first time. First time ever. And we were both working. I mean, I was working on my last startup. It was a e-commerce baby product, e-commerce. I was full time there, and Felipe was finishing school and working, and he had a travel agency, and we were like full time. It was just looking to do something outside of what we were doing at the time.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. And so that was in November. Kind of what happened from then to like the beginning of the year? Because I know that you had a little bit of success early on, right?
That's correct. We did have a little bit of success because the whole thing happened. It started happening in March. In March, we got together and said, let's start giving it more time. Let's just do it not as a hobby, just turn it into a part time. And we read a book. Actually, the book is called The Art of Wholesaling Properties. So it was like an ABC, like wholesaling 101.
Yep.
And we contact the author of that book, Alex Virels. He's, you know, great guy. And that was the first experience we had. But we were only targeting listed properties. And we were very fortunate to close 3 deals in a month. And we were like, oh my God, this is so easy. Easy money. Let's just do it.
I mean, we tried to stay humble, but it was like, whoa, man, it's just sending offers and getting accepted and then reselling it. We didn't have a buyer's list at all. We just contacted to one of the people that we met at the local RIA meeting, and he connected us to a couple of big wholesalers, and they brought us the buyers. Like the first 3 deals that we made, I mean, we closed 3 deals, but we didn't make much money. It was really small spreads, but we learned, and we just keep forward. And as Felipe mentioned, I mean, Alex was like the guy who opened our eyes, like for the basics, like signing a contract, assigning, and it was really, really helpful as well.
So let me kind of backtrack a little bit here, because I can't tell you how many people just go to RIAs, but then don't do anything with that information. You guys went to a RIA, fast forward four or five months or so, and you guys knocked 3 deals, albeit, you know, small deals as far as your spread. You still knocked 3 deals out of the park without really even knowing what you were doing. What do you attribute that to? So for somebody who's listening that is kind of having a bit of a challenge getting out of the gates, what advice would you share with them as far as just, you know, how you guys were able to quickly do 3 deals, again, without much guidance or experience?
I would want to thank Jesus for that, because I was a little bit of analysis paralysis, you know, reading books and just kind of like diving deep into what wholesaling was, but we weren't taking that much action. And he just said, you know what, let's just start sending offers. Let's just start like seeing how that works. And
I love it. I love it.
And we start getting that momentum. But
I would add that, sorry to interrupt you, Felipe, but it's not all on me, because actually Felipe is like the he knows everybody in every industry. He knows everything. So he tracked down Alex Reales and he contacted him, and we had a session with him about 2 hours, 3 hours. He mentored us. He gave us the guidelines. It was like on February, I think.
February, yeah.
And when we did that commitment, I said, no, now we're all in. Now we need to start moving. Like he made us go through that process of getting help to learn more. And then I said, no, now we're all in. And in March, we started promoting, contacting realtors and trying to do it. And just following like the basic stuff doesn't need to really get into the details. We were figuring out everything on the go. Like we got a contract, we talked to a realtor, and then we called Alex and said, hey, we need help. And he gave us, we just like trying to improvise a little bit, like learn on the way. Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable. And then so what was that, Felipe?
Yeah, and I like to think about it this way. It's you got to stay humble, like Conor McGregor says, you know, humble in victory and defeat, because that was the nice part of it. But after, you know, after May, which was when we closed the last deal, we hit a major roadblock, and we were struggling like very hard before we reached out to you, and we had that meeting at Starbucks, and that was, I think that was the biggest game changer in our wholesaling business, and you know, pretty much took us where we are right now.
Okay. So before we kind of get into that, between, you know, you closed three deals, I think it was, you said March of this year, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, the first deal, the first contract we signed was the end of March, and we sold it in April, and the other two we sold it in May.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What do you think happened after you closed those three deals? Because I know that when we met at Starbucks, you were sharing with me that you guys were, you were struggling a little bit. Like, you know, you felt like, damn, we quickly did three deals, and then you kind of hit a bit of a stumbling block, and you just weren't able to gain any traction. What do you attribute that to as far as just, you know, coming out of the gates pretty hot and then kind of slowing down from there?
I would say we needed to find out what was the best strategy to get the properties that are off market and to increase the spreads. And our approach was not the best one, because our marketing was very limited to the amount of people we were trying to reach. And, you know, that was when we reach out to you and we start talking about like a couple of things that were like, yeah.
Actually, I remember the day that we were doing some research and saw like all the wholesalers that were doing deals from the MLS were doing smaller spreads.
Yeah.
And we started listening to your podcast, I believe it was on February, March as well. And it was about like doing larger profits, larger transactions. So I always believe that it's personal. I don't say that's the right thing, but I think that's, it's better to do a little less transactions with more spread than a lot of transactions with smaller spreads. So we decided to go to the off market. And that's when Felipe, he's like the researcher, he said, oh, I want to contact Alex Pardo. He's our guy. We loved your podcast. And he just contacted you and we had the meeting.
That's awesome. I specifically remember the way you guys, you know, because a lot of times people will reach out to me and maybe this has happened to you guys, you know, now that you guys have started closing some deals and you're experiencing success, you're going to see people are going to reach out to you. But a lot of times people just will reach out and they want to take and they want to ask you questions. And that's okay. You know, sometimes I'm able to do that. But sometimes people just don't know the best way to approach and they're kind of rough around the edges. You guys were just super humble and hungry. And that's what attracted me to you guys as far as just wanting to take time out to help you guys and just meet and talk. Like, I had no idea you guys were interested in working with me. You guys just kind of wanted to pick my brain and talk. And so we met. And then I guess from there, I don't want to kind of be the one to, you know, to talk about it. But what happened, we ended up, you know, we started working together. And then take people listening through your journey as far as like when we started working together, like what were some of the challenges that you guys had? And then we'll fast forward to like what you guys have done up to this point.
Well, I would say the biggest challenge was to, now that we made the decision of working with you and made the investment, the accountability was in place. So, I mean, because I remember from the very first session that we had, you know, our consulting session, you challenged us to get a structure and to meet certain goals. And now, you know, it was no longer a part-time. It was, you know, like we realized that it was our business.
Yeah, actually, we went full-time in June. The 1st of June, we rented out an office because we both have kids at the house, so we couldn't work from home anymore. So it was crazy working from home. So we rented out an office and we reached out to you because we want to pick your brain for all the off-market techniques, marketing, structuring, everything, building a team. We wanted to know everything that you had. That's why we reached out to you. It's been great. We learned so much and that's like, our beginning of our journey was we decided to go off market and you guided us like everything. And it's been still a learning. We're still learning every day. We still send you questions weekly.
More like three times a week, you know. That's
Shit. I mean, I've been at this since 2005, and I'm still learning. We're always gonna be learning, you know. And I'm always looking up to people that are above me, and we should always have, I think, one hand up to a mentor and one hand down to a mentee. I don't think the learning process ever stops. You know, I really believe you stop learning, you start dying. So yeah, I mean, we're, you know, 10 years from now, you guys are still gonna be learning. I just think it's awesome, you know, what you guys were able to do on your own with very little guidance. And then when we started working together, you never questioned anything. You just acted and you implemented. And yeah, it wasn't always smooth, because there's no such thing in business. You're going to have some ups and some downs, and you're going to have some challenges. But you guys just, you think outside the box and you powered through. So in the last, what, since June, since the time that you started, that you went full time, how many deals have you guys done so far?
Three deals. One of them being our largest deal so far. Yeah.
So that's kind of a perfect segue into that big deal. First of all, just so people have an idea, this was a wholesale deal, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
So, how much did you guys?
We didn't have any budget as well. I mean, we've been like bootstrapping our businesses. We didn't do a large investment. For the people out there, they don't need to do a large investment in marketing and stuff like that. There's creative ways to get around that.
Yeah, no, and not only that, I would add that if you have a limited budget, find a heavy hitter in your market, like we did with you. Invest in getting the right, you know, strategies, the right ways to handle your market, because, you know, like if you got a good I don't like using this word too much, but if you have good systems in place, mm-hmm. You can always joint venture with somebody to pay the marketing for you. That's the way we see it. We decided to make the investment in working with you, and it didn't turn out to pay a lot more than if, for example, we would have sent like a 10,000 piece mailer instead.
Yeah. Yeah. I got it. No, and I appreciate you sharing that. So I want to kind of dive into this deal and dissect it from start to finish, just to let people know what kind of deal we're talking about here. This is a wholesale deal. You guys closed a couple of weeks ago, right?
Correct.
Okay. How much did you guys profit on this wholesale deal? Like, I'm talking profit.
Net profit. $82,000
on a wholesale deal. Did I hear that right?
That's right, sir.
You know what? That might be the first clap on the Flip Empire show, because I stood up when I did it, because in 82, that's what we call a grand slam in the wholesaling business, at least here in our area. So that's amazing. That for you guys, for your sixth deal or your fifth deal, to close an $82,000 deal is insane. That's unbelievable. So now let's kind of get into it. First of all, how did you guys find this seller? Where did this deal come from?
Well, actually, that's one of the things I was saying, that you need to be creative. I'm really big in data and in researching. So we started buying like all the lists, like the tax delinquent list. And it's not that expensive. I mean, we got a subscription, so we got a few of them, like vacant houses. We were driving for dollars. And I was noticing, we started noticing that this list, they were overlapping, like people were on the delinquent list on taxes and also were vacant. So we said, okay, these people are more distressed than a person who only owns 1 year of taxes. Mm-hmm. So we kind of created like a point system for our prospect, like all the lists, we merged them and we just said, okay, the people who has multiple points of distress, those people are the ones that we need to focus on. And we script traced them and we started doing marketing. Felipe has strong background in sales, and he just cold called him. And he can tell you from there. I mean, it's amazing how it happened. It was great.
Hold on, Felipe, before you jump in, because this kind of blows me away. So what kind of marketing budget? I know you talked about not having much of a budget. What kind of marketing budget were you guys working with at this point?
I mean, I would say we spent for getting all this information, less than 1,000, maybe 500. I don't know. It's not that much. I mean, we invested in data, like to try to get the feel for the market and send a little bit more, but it was all research. It wasn't like any marketing material. It was just buying lists, basically.
Okay. And so you said you bought a tax delinquent list and a vacant property list. Anything else?
I mean, Jesus was, and this was the part where I had to, like, you know, make the, I mean, and we also talked about this with you when we were doing our consulting sessions. This is just focusing on the specialty lists.
Bingo.
And then, but not only the specialty lists, like with the way that the point system that we've been working on, we started cross-referencing each one of these lists. And we noticed that there was people that, you know, like they will be either tax delinquent plus vacant plus
code violations, divorce. And
so it's like the perfect storm.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what I really wanted to highlight here. The fact that you guys didn't have a big marketing budget didn't stop you from marketing. And what you did, I think a mistake that people make is that they take their limited marketing budget and they'll go buy an absentee owner list, right? The challenge with that is that everybody, their mom and their grandmother, is mailing that list. So yeah, you might connect on a deal, but the truth of the matter is, you guys know this, a lot of the deals come from the follow-up. But what I love that you guys did is that you thought outside the box and you said, okay, well, if I have this list, and this list, why don't we focus on the sellers that are on all the lists, right? Because it stands to reason that they might be more motivated. Absolutely love that you guys did that.
Thank you. It was like, we didn't know if it would work or not. We're still learning from it. It has some downs as well. Like sometimes you get to situations that you get involved and they're not, you cannot save the situation. So sometimes you waste some time on deals that are not deals because they have too many distress. It's too much. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, and Felipe is so good on the phone. So he was all in for cold calling, and I was a little hesitant to that because everybody's doing direct mail, right? I mean, everywhere you see everybody's doing direct mail. He said, no, we can't do what everybody else is doing. We need to figure out a way. So we started doing this live broadcast, cold calling, text messages. That was our test that we were doing for marketing.
Yeah.
And this deal came from a cold call from Felipe. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. So let me ask, I don't know if it's possible to break this down on a podcast, but so that people out there listening can kind of duplicate your point system or at least model it, can you talk a little bit about how that point system that you guys came up with works?
Yeah, it's pretty simple in terms of how to handle it. You buy multiple lists of specialty lists, as Felipe mentioned, and you just, I did an Excel sheet. I listed them all. What I did to avoid any problems with that, I just like look for the folio numbers of all the properties that were on those lists so I can have a unique ID for every property. And then we just did like a pivot table.
Yeah,
it's pretty simple. I mean, of course, there are people out there that doesn't know really how Excel works, and you can have a Fiverr guy or a Upwork guy who handles the Excel sheet. I study engineering, so I learned that in college. For us, it wasn't that hard, but if you want to do it, you can have help. It's not that expensive to have somebody handle this kind of data. It's nothing complicated like a database or a programmer or a developer or anything. It's just Excel. It's nothing too sophisticated.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, you guys just you cross-referenced it, and then you found, I guess, the sweet spot, right? So let's say you have how many records between all three lists. How many unique records would you say were on all three lists?
Right now in our county, you know, we're both working on Miami-Dade County. The database of properties we have, it's about 12,000 that have some kind of distress, or they have been through some kind of distress.
Okay.
We're focusing on like 500. They are the guys with most distress.
There you go. Okay, so the sweet spot, the crossover between all three lists, you're talking about 500 records. That's your world, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I like to think about it as a pyramid. And they're the tip of the pyramid, and they deserve a more attention that other leads.
And yeah, I know. And when you say pyramid, I just want to a little disclaimer. He doesn't mean like a pyramid scheme,
No, 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 no. A pyramid of importance,
like a tip of
the pyramid is the priority for us.
Exactly. Okay, beautiful. So talk to me about this particular seller, like from the moment you guys first reached out to the seller, and then walk me through the entire deal when you guys, I know you guys sent me a Voxer like a couple Fridays ago, and the sigh of relief in your voice. I still have the Voxer. I saved it. I actually started because you were like, we just closed an $82,000 wholesale deal. And you guys were like elated and excited, but you were also so relieved because I know you had some challenges at the closing table. So before we get there, walk us through from the moment that Felipe, you cold called this person, and then let's go through the entire deal.
Yeah, well, we cold call using what a lot of people are using, which is Mojo Sales. Mm-hmm. And of course, after you find out which ones are like the most distressed properties, we skip trace them, got the numbers, and I talked to the owner. The framework we talked about, who you are, why you're calling, and the first thing that came out of this guy's mouth is like, many people try to buy this house. There's nothing to be done. I gave up on it. I mean, you can't help me.
Wow.
And I mean, we committed to, like I said, to the, like Jesus said, to the point system, and I go like, I turn it around and I said like, well, suppose there was a way to help you and we will assume the risk. Would you like to like work with us?
Bravo. Love it.
And then the guy said, well, see what you can do. Like the guy just literally had no hope on this property. The property actually, we end up going there after putting it under contract and even had squatters. So that shows like how in bad shape this property was.
So this particular, what were the crossover points? He was behind on his taxes.
Tax delinquent, code violations.
In vacant.
Vacant and divorced.
Vacant, divorced, but it wasn't really vacant because it had an unwanted tenant. It had a squatter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was vacant.
Yeah, Larry
the squatter, yeah.
Okay, got it. And so how long has this guy owned this property, and has this property been like a pain in the ass for him for a while, or had he been trying to sell it? Like, what was the story there?
It was a property that he bought to rehab and live with the wife at the time. They divorced and he just like let it go. And that's when we stepped in and went with the, just like we've talked about this in our consulting calls, going with the mentality of how can we provide a service to these people.
There you go.
So we solved his problem and put some money in his pocket, and thankfully we were able to sell it.
Yeah, let me really stress what you just said, just in case anybody didn't hear it. You didn't go there thinking about the dollars and cents and about the deal, but you went there trying to solve a problem and help the homeowner. When you talk to sellers on the phone, when you go on appointments, you have to have that mentality and you have to truly want to help the person, because the amount of money you make in this business or any business is going to be directly proportional to the value that you bring to the table. And we're not in the real estate business. We're in the people business. We're in the marketing business, and we're problem solvers. That's what wholesalers are. And so I love the fact that you guys approached the deal with that mentality. And I'm almost certain if you didn't approach it with that mentality, you wouldn't have gotten this deal.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. Really important to focus on the person, not on the property, not on the money, nothing. We always talk like on our training calls, we try to focus on the person. We want to listen to the conversation, want to take the cues, what they're going through. That's the most important thing. If we can find out there, the rest is a consequence.
No, you're spot on. You're spot on. So you ended up meeting with this seller. Did you guys put the property under contract the first time you met with him?
Well, actually, it was a one call, one contract. I said the guy was like, I work, my ex-wife works, and I go like, well, suppose I sent you a DocuSign contract, and next thing you know, the day after, we had an executed contract.
My man, and I'm trying to put on my best Denzel face here. Denzel Washington, my man. That's awesome. That's amazing. So you guys sent this guy a contract through DocuSign. He signed it. He signed it. He sent it back. What did you guys contract the property for?
Well, we were gonna pay all the closing costs, but net to them it was $10,000.
Net to them. What was the total purchase price?
It was a contract for net to the sellers for $10,000. The taxes were about
$21,000.
Yeah. Okay. So it was 30 something.
So you're all in for about 30 something. What was the after repaired value of this property?
$200,000.
You guys picked this thing up for 31 and change or so, and this the after repaired value of this property is 200.
Yeah, maybe 220. I don't know.
maybe 220.
So let me ask you guys a question. You think there's deals out there in this market?
Absolutely.
Questions asked.
Yeah, that's it. I'm telling you, that's a grand slam. I you know, hopefully most of your deals are like that, but I think you guys are going to be a little spoiled now.
Yeah. No, not at all. We're really aware that we try to keep as humble as possible because it's was a lucky deal. We know that. We were thankful for that. But
you know what?
Yeah. There are deals out there.
Let me backtrack. Luck. What's that saying? Luck is when hard work meets opportunity. Like, you guys put yourself in that position. You weren't lucky. I don't believe you were lucky. You guys put in the work. You guys, you know, you took action. As much as I'd like to take credit for this, I can't. This was all you guys. Like, you guys made it happen. So, you know, don't sell yourself short. I mean, I really believe you guys put yourself in a position to get that deal. You solved the seller's problems and you got paid more than handsomely for it. So, kind of fast forwarding now, how did you guys end up marketing the contract?
Using the strategies that we discussed in our consulting calls. I mean, we had a way to promote our deals that was not the right one. And we had a couple of setbacks because we were, I don't know, selling too low, underpricing the previous deal we had under contract. So we reached out to you, and that was one of the questions we talked about, and you walked us through doing the whole process of how to show a property, how to take highest and best. And for this deal, I mean, for the people that live here in Miami, it's an area called Alapata. It's a hot area in a hot market, and it turned it into a bidding war.
Yeah, we promoted at 97.9. We end up selling for 118.
Yeah.
Bam, an extra 20 grand. That's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah,
all thanks to you, my man.
That is.
We would have accepted the 97.9 before we met you. So.
Nice, man. That is awesome. That is so awesome. And okay, so from the moment you contracted the property to the moment you guys got to the closing table, how much time in between?
There was a couple of things to take care of, you know, with previous liens and the closing agent that we were using at the time. It was taking a little bit too long, so that kind of
it was a month, right?
It was a month,
and yeah, it took a month,
and that it started to it started becoming an issue with the seller, because, you know, like it's just like we are approaching this sellers. It's a very competitive market, so he started getting offers from other people, even if he was under contract with us. So, I mean, fast forward to the day of the closing, he was very stressed and walked away from the title agency twice. Had to stay on the phone with him for 45 minutes. Again, you know, solving your problems. Like, we're here to help you. We're gonna stay with you as long as it's necessary until we get this done. And it got done.
This deal almost didn't even happen.
Yeah. It virtually didn't happen at some point because he said, you know what, it's over. And I was like, you know what, like, I mean, you've had issues with in the past where the seller is not being forthcoming, and I mean, it brings a whole bad vibe on the deal if you have to enforce it. But I mean, thankfully we were able to just take a step back, calm him down, and just bring him to the table.
What was the seller's challenge? I mean, obviously, he was getting anxious because it was taking a while to clear some of the title issues. You guys, what was the biggest deal killer for him, or what was he struggling with when you guys were sitting down at the closing table?
He wasn't trusting the process. Since it took a little longer, he was a little like discouraged by, I don't know, he wanted to walk away before he signed. He wanted to receive his check.
Yeah,
it was one of the things that he wanted. Like, I need my check before I sign. I need a wire before I sign. And title agency cannot do that. So it was like, oh, then I'm gone. And he went away, and we got a call from him like, it's over. I'm going away. I never seen something so unprofessional. He was really pissed off at us. And Felipe just calmed him down on the phone. We asked him like, what's going on? Let's wait. We can work around it. And we stayed on the phone with him for an hour and a half, I think.
Yeah, at the end it was about an hour and a half. Yeah.
Wow. How did you guys end up talking him back?
I mean, with a lot of nurturing and understanding that on the other side of the phone, there's a human being, and it's a person that, imagine, he's been through a divorce, he lost a house, he probably has a lot of problems in his life in general. And if I would have taken a confrontational approach, like, yeah, you gotta sign, because technically he was, the contract said that, but that would have been a big mistake. I was just like, I took a step back and said, how do we fix this? What would it take for you to, to come back to the table?
You guys make me proud. I got a smile on my face. How do you fix this? Those words are gold. Like, when you put something on someone's lap and you're like, how do we make this right, versus trying to combat them or go at them? That saying, you're going to get more bees with honey. I think that applies here,
That's true. That's true.
And then the other thing I wanted to really just kind of touch on, because if you're listening and you find yourself in a position, it's so critical. It's so important to always walk the seller through what's going to happen next, right? So, and I'm not saying you guys didn't do that, but for the people listening in, our transaction coordinator always sends the document to the seller before the closing. We make sure that if they have any questions, we walk them through what's going to happen at the closing table, so that you potentially eliminate some of these deal killers and some of these issues that come up at the last minute.
Oh yeah, I mean, after closing that deal, we thankfully got a couple of other properties under contract, and the way we approach the transaction coordination side now, it's completely different to what happened to this deal.
Yeah, every time we go through a situation, we take notes and we try to improve it. This is a process. You need to keep learning, keep improving, keep taking notes. And that's why, we made a lot of mistakes, a lot of mistakes. We still do. And we just try to improve from that. And that was one. I'm in the transaction coordinating side, and I didn't over communicate with the seller.
Yeah,
it wasn't. Yeah. And we need to, and we learned that. We almost cost us $80,000. But
yeah. You remember? I remember that call that we had, and we spent about 10-15 minutes talking about the fact that you guys have to communicate with your sellers and your buyers leading up to the closing. I remember it had been a week or so, and that was when the seller was a little shaky. Was that the same deal?
No, this was another deal.
Okay.
Actually, that was a deal that ended up falling apart because properties just couldn't be closed regularly. But at that point, I remember that because of that, how we handled that after the contract on that deal, you walked us through into over communicating with buyers and sellers. And after, all the way through the closing, we just got to hold your hand. That's the only way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Guys, that's awesome. So start to wind this down, what were some of the biggest takeaways or the biggest learning lessons that you can share with people?
There are many. I mean, I would say that being persistent, believing in that you can do it, and just trying to do something different. I mean, if everybody is doing direct mail, maybe you can do direct mail. We do some direct mail, but try to do something different and be persistent with that.
Yeah.
Find a mentor. Fundamental. For sure. That's I mean, that's king, because I mean, you gotta, if you surround yourself with people that it's doing what you want to do and at a higher level,
it will help you a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the learning curve, it's so different.
Yeah, well, we've been lucky enough or fortunate enough to surround ourselves with a lot of wholesalers, with you, like, you're a guru for us. I mean, not guru, I hate the word, I'm sorry, but this is like, you've been such a good friend, such a help for us, and everybody who helped us along the way, it's been great.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, guys. Well, I appreciate you you sharing that, and you guys deserve all the credit. I know you guys are not even scratching the surface of what you guys are going to be accomplishing in this business. So, I wanted to have you on because I think it's super. First of all, that's a home run of a deal you closed, and you guys deserve all the credit. And I just wanted to like recognize you for that. And number two, I hope that this particular episode really inspires people that maybe struggling, and it doesn't even have to be people that are just getting started, but even the seasoned wholesalers that have closed a lot of deals, you know, they have challenges at time. And I think this is a reminder that if you just go back to the basics, you stay persistent, you know, we can make some big things happen. And we really need to up the game collectively, because, you know, unfortunately, to homeowners and people that don't know what we do, you know, sometimes investors, real estate investors, don't have the best reputation. And I think if we up our game and we genuinely try to do right by sellers and really help them, you know, it's that Brian, who is it? Zig Ziglar that said, you know, you'll get everything you want by helping people get what they want, you know? And so I just wanted to kind of end with that. Guys, I don't know. Do you have anything else to add before we kind of wrap it up here?
No, just thank you. Thank you for sharing all the knowledge that you share in your podcast. I mean, it's been an inspiration for us and for helping us as well. I mean, it's been great. It's a great experience, and I love it.
Awesome, guys. Well, hey, I really, again, we're, you know, it's amazing to watch your guys' growth, like from the moment we met to where you guys are at now. It's nothing short of just awesome. And that's because you guys are making it happen. You guys are taking action, and you're persevering and you're persistent. So hats off to you guys. So on that note, I think we'll wrap this one up here. Guys, if you have any questions and you want to reach out to me, or you want to reach out to Felipe or Jesus, any questions you might have for them, guys, where can they connect with you?
I mean, we are on Facebook. I answer my own phone, so they can call us on
email is the best.
Email also. Yeah, sure.
I mean, okay. You should add the notes. They, if they have any questions about the point system or the sales training that Felipe has been through, they can contact us for sure.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. What we'll do is we'll put the email in the show notes page, so that you guys, if you want to reach out to Jesus and Felipe, I recommend you connect with them. They're on their way to doing big things, and they're just down to earth, genuine guys, succeeding and making this happen. So, awesome, guys. Well, listen, I obviously we'll be in contact here soon, and I'm looking forward to connecting with you listening on the next episode. So take care, everyone.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you.
Boom. So what do you think? You know, hopefully my hope is that really resonates with you, especially if you're kind of struggling, if you're haven't done your first deal, or if you've done some deals like Felipe and Jesus did, but you know, now you've kind of hit a rough patch and you've lost some momentum. Hopefully that inspires you that anything is possible if you just have the right mindset, if you persevere. And even for the seasoned investors and wholesalers, you know, sometimes it's about just going back to the basics, you know, and sometimes, you know, remembering that we're problem solvers, and, you know, we need to have solution oriented thinking. We need to really approach sellers with a heart and the mindset to help them out, and everything else will tend to fall in its place. So, listen, if you got value out of that, and you see the benefit of possibly working together one-on-one, it's not something I do very often, matter of fact, right now I'm only working with one person. And so I have the ability to work with one more person one-on-one. That's typically the max that I'll ever do at any given time. So there's very strict criteria. You know, if you're somebody who's already closed some deals, you understand wholesaling and you understand the mechanics of that, and you're more interested in now, you know, taking it up a notch or two, right? Building a team, surrounding yourself with the people that can do a lot of the heavy lifting, and actually, you know, turning this into a business. You're interested in, you know, how to generate more leads through your marketing efforts, how to convert more of these leads into appointments and appointments into deals. You know, we spent a lot of time and energy and money on sales training over the course of the last year. And there's a lot of things that we have implemented, learned, that have really helped us out. And the last 4 years or so, I've been knee deep into building, you know, a small team. Right now, our team is made up of six, and I have a fantastic team, and I've made so many mistakes and I've learned so much when it comes to just hiring the right people, hiring the wrong people, what to do, how to set them up for success. How to identify the right people. You know, the term rock stars is thrown around a lot, but how to identify the studs, the A players, you know, and then how to make sure that you set them up for success. So if that's your interest, if you're, you know, if you understand how important systems are in creating, you know, processes and standard operating procedures, and just really treating this like a business. And again, you've done some deals. You have some money to invest in yourself, understanding that this is going to cost money. It's not cheap. But, you know, this is something that you'd like to consider or want to like find out more how it works. Do me a favor. Just go to flipempire.com/coaching. Fill out that short application. flipempire.com/coaching, and we'll hop on the phone and just, you know, we'll just see if it's the right fit. It, you know, 5-10 minute conversation, and we'll just kind of see where you're at and if I can help you. But you know, if you meet that criteria and you think that this might make sense for you, then go ahead and do that. flipempire.com/coaching. And if not, you know, if you're just not at a place right now where you have the money to invest in yourself, or you just don't feel like you're there yet, I encourage you, continue to listen to the podcast. I mean, I really, really, I hope you understand and know that I do not hold back on the podcast. Okay. This is, I'm revealing all, I'm giving all from my perspective. And hopefully that, you know, I can't tell you how many people have told me that they've been able to accomplish X, Y, or Z as a result of listening to the podcast. I've heard people tell me they've done their first deal. I've heard people, you know, tell me they've made their first hire. I've heard people tell me that they're closing more deals, or they're converting more leads into appointments, or they're generating more leads. And that's exactly why I'm doing this show. So anyway, hope you really enjoyed that. If you have any questions for me, feel free to reach out to me. And I'm happy to feature them on an upcoming show. And other than that, we'll talk soon. We'll connect. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.